Welcome to the Gamers Pub, where buds get together and share some suds.
Welcome to the Gamers Pub, where some dudes and buds get together and share some suds and talk about the gaming news that we know you need to know. Not that we think you need to know, that we know you need to know.
You gotta know it.
You always gotta know it.
Gotta know it.
You got your host here, Cole. Sorry, I've been away for a little bit.
He's been too far away.
Yeah, I recently moved from... I used to live a half hour away from where we meet, and now I live an hour away from where we meet, and I'm also trying to find a new job. So mixing in that drive time and job hunting, it gets a little tough to come down here sometimes, but doing my darndest and trying to make it work. So I'm here this week. I'm Cole. And we also got...
Brandon.
And we also got...
Shane.
Hey, there we go. So what's the first topic we got this week, Brandon?
First thing comes first, because Patrick always gets on us. What beer are you drinking this week?
It's quite an interesting question to ask this time around. Let's see if I can even pronounce this right. How do I even pronounce this? I don't even know.
Which part?
All of it.
Hopland IPA.
Hopland, yeah, so.
From Southbound Brewing. Cole and I both had, well, we had our own can. Don't get it mixed up, people.
Can.
Is there someone saying that you're drinking from the same can?
Well, I want to make sure that was clear.
Drinking the same beer, but not the same beer from the same can.
Yes.
Same beer to different cans.
Yes. We're trying to prevent.
Buds with suds, not buds with a sud.
Right.
Trying to prevent them diseases.
Yes.
Well, like that old coronavirus.
Oh, no. We don't want that. Get it out.
Yeah, so we ain't drinking no Coronas around here.
Pray the Corona away.
Actually, I do have Coronas in the beer fridge.
Well, we're not drinking them, are we?
No, we're not tonight. And I'm still drinking Sweetwater beer.
Hey.
I have for the last 2 months now. It's the problem of buying your beer from Costco.
Yeah.
You have 48 cans and you're like, man, this will last a while. Yeah, it has. Even after sharing it with like 20 people. All right, so that's our beer for the week. I'm back on that Sweetwater Going Coastal IPA with pineapple. Thanks for asking, Cole.
Well, yeah, no problem.
It's kind of fruity, not super fruity. It's good.
We didn't really talk about ours, though. What'd you think, Cole?
Yeah,
it was... I actually really like it. I'm usually not huge on IPAs, but it did have that kind of hemp base to it. Which, you know, like that, it still adds more of that earthy kind of weedy flavor to it. And that tends to be more of my alley, is like more of just like the strong, like Belgian ales or the weedy, grainy, earthy taste. I like it. I like it a lot.
And fun fact, I found that beer in the discount bin at Ingles.
Liked it too. It was good.
Can't find it again.
It's discontinued.
They dropped it.
Ingles did, or the brewery maybe dropped it?
Who knows? Could be either or and.
We may never know.
But we know some things. Like GDC is postponed!
And that's postponed.
Bum, bum, bum. That's the smoothest transition we've had.
Hey!
GDC has been postponed due to the COVID-19. Along with the GDC, Games First London and Google I.O. has been canceled, as well as Epic's Unreal Fest.
That's unbelievable.
Thought you were going to do something there, but you didn't do it.
Haha.
No, so some of the biggest gaming conferences have been postponed and pushed back. And the GDC is where we were supposed to get more spec information about the Xbox Series X coming out this holiday season. So there's some big things that have kind of been lost by this, because, you know, they can't have it in June because of E3. So it's going to get pushed back into the fall if they decide to have the GDC this year.
It'll more likely they're just going to cancel it for the year.
Probably. But that brings, like, something is lost there in the fact that people don't have an excuse to skip, you know, actually going to their day jobs and doing journalism stuff.
I forget, did we mention why it was canceled?
COVID-19.
Oh, we're getting all technical with the numbers now.
We are okay. So I because I was doing some research about the coronavirus, and coronavirus is a very broad term.
There have been several coronaviruses
throughout the years, and different strands of the of coronavirus. What we have here is COVID-19.
Yeah.
Which we have to make sure it's COVID-19 because coronavirus like can be as inconsequential.
It's like, almost like just saying the flu.
Right. But there's different strands of flu, and that's the strands of flu that like we have to be concerned about. I mean, still at this point, the flu has killed more people this like year during flu season than COVID-19 has.
But yet the media still wants to freak out about it.
Well, because it's something new. Sure.
Fair. But also, there was another conference that has been seeing a lot of developers pull out of it, specifically just the Japanese ones. I'm pretty sure it was PAX East that was seeing Square Enix pull out all of its devs and representatives. And
Sony pulled out of it,
yep. Like, and it wasn't like that there would be no presence of them whatsoever, but any kind of Asian-based or Japanese-based developers that were going to be there for meet and greets or Q&As or what have you, they were all like, basically, like, canceled their appearances because of this epidemic.
Which kind of makes sense. Like, you put a bunch of people from different countries in one place. Like, you're asking for people to get sick. I mean, think, like, it's like going to a public school or, you know, any sort of school. And you put a bunch of people that are going to be touching stuff.
More than likely, not washing their hands.
Yes. More than likely not washing their hands. And like you're bound to have some germ spread. So it's a great place for, you know, the coronavirus, COVID-19 to find grounds and spread. So like it does make sense why they're being so cautious. At the same time, I was like, hey, you know, maybe if we wipe down our controllers and headsets and everything you have more often during your show, which I'm sure you were probably doing, right? And maybe if people just like wash their hands and, you know, came around with some hand sanitizer, they should be good.
It's all you got to do.
You know, basic hygiene. Imagine that. But beyond that, like, you know, more technical facts like COVID-19. If you're under the age of 39, which no offense, that's going to be a lot of people at PAX East.
Yeah.
Probably is under the age of 39, your likelihood of getting COVID-19 is like 3.4%, or no, 0.03%, and of that 0.03% that get it, the mortality rate is 3%. So like when you start taking like all of the numbers, like it's a really, really small percentage of people like under 39 that risk dying from COVID-19. Super slim.
But I guess also in that same vein, that they may not be the ones that catch it, but they could also be carriers. So
that's true, yeah.
They could take it back to wherever they come from and spread it to people that are over the age of 39 and increase more bad stats.
Yes. Now, okay, please hear this, listener. We are not taking this lightly. There are people that have been affected, families that have, you know, lost family members. And like, so yeah, like this is something to, you know, not just take lightly. Like, yeah, like, it's a very somber thing. Thankfully, you know, developers and, you know, committees have some sense to help, you know, prevent the sickness from, you know, spreading and causing more stuff to go on. So yes, you know, it can be easily preventable, but also like we understand that, you know, there's just some precautions you want to take. So that's really important to say, so we're not like, you know, just washing down COVID-19.
Right.
I'd hope we'd be washing our own hands though.
Yeah. The other thing that is coming out of this though is E3 has announced that they are watching what's going on very closely. And they will do what they have to do that is appropriate to the response. And part of that is Los Angeles has declared a state of emergency due to COVID-19. Now, what does this mean for E3? First off, E3 is, you know, a shell of what it used to be.
Can confirm.
It's not the same. Sony has, like, they already pulled out for the second year in a row from E3. Other people are not making, like, giant fanfare. Like, Nintendo hasn't been doing, like, hasn't made giant fanfare for years. The only thing they do is, like, a giant booth. And their booths are absolutely awesome. Like, if you look at, what's the conference in Germany? Gamescom?
Yeah, that's Gamescom? Gamescom, yeah, with an M.
Com?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so, like, Gamescom, like, Nintendo set up, a, like, massive booths with, playable games and characters. Even at PAX East, they had an Animal Crossing Village set up. Like, it's very impressive what they do booth-wise, but Nintendo's not using these conferences to announce stuff. They're using these conferences to kind of build relationships with fans.
Yeah, like, the E3 itself used to be more of a press-exclusive event where they would unveil new games, new hardware, kind of give their big, like, updates that people could, that the public could still watch, but it was more, at least as far as attendance would go and as far as, like, playable things on the show floor, it was all just press related where journalists could go in. But within the past, like, 5 years or so, they've opened it up to public that can buy tickets to go. So it's almost like another just convention, like another PAX or another Gamescom or whatever. And that was pretty much the turning point for E3 when it started to really go downhill as far as, like, quality of life from what I've seen over the years.
From what?
We're talking about E3 as an event, you know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it should be an event.
And
that's part of the issue is, like, no one knows what E3 is.
Yeah, like, it went from being, like, a press event to kind of trying to turn into...
consumer event.
Yeah.
But they're still trying to do the press stuff.
Well, the problem is you just get a bunch of... It's less designed to tell the press what's going on and more designed to sell games or, you know, cater to the casual individual fan.
Like, it's being catered more to entertain rather than to showcase.
Yes.
Yeah. But, like, there's room for that. And if they were to go full force into that, you know, they could grow and they could... But they have to have a clear definition of who they are and what they're trying to do.
I think you already have different gamer gatherings that are consumer based and individual person based. And yeah, I don't know of any others besides E3 that were at least designed at one point to be press based.
I felt like that's when E3 was its strongest, is when it was press based. Like, trying to go consumer the way it has, it just hasn't really worked out. I mean, seeing some of the things that have happened in the past, like, when they had that massive, it wasn't even a leak, it was just a poorly designed website where hundreds of people's personal information was just up for grabs. Mostly it was the influencers that were going, but, like, their payment information, their addresses and whatnot were all up for grabs. And I had seen so many of YouTube influencers or Twitch streamers that were going and were getting constantly harassed by fans or stalked or whatever, and it was all to blame for the E3 website. So in their transition from being a press to a consumer event, it has not been a smooth one in the slightest.
No. But I think that's because people are dragging their feet. Kind of, like, I don't know, to me it still comes back down to they don't know what they are.
At this point, yes.
Because they're still trying to grasp onto that realization, like, we need to be pressed, like, we want people to announce big things. And I think they like, that's why Jeff Keighley has stepped down, whether or not he really says it or not. Like, he's being a much bigger part of Gamescom.
Or his own game award show.
Right. But he's using that as a chance to meet consumers and get, like, the big press stuff out to them directly. And making them feel involved and part of it. And E3 has not found a way to balance that yet. It's either... Well, I mean, look at what EA does for their stuff during press week.
They started having their own show recently, didn't they?
I mean, they moved completely to a different place. They have their own showroom. They just don't know who, like, they are completely for their fans and players and just letting them see, like, what's playable, what's coming, meet the devs, which I like that. I think a lot of it's a waste of time and, like, space and stuff, but, you know, everything has its place.
True. I don't know, like, E3 always has a special place in my heart because it was always the conference I watched when I was a kid to see new games coming out or these crazy things. And even though, like, I haven't been happy with the conference in these past couple years from its hot, huge dip in quality and Sony stepping away from it, I still don't want to see it go away. Like, yeah, I want to see it, like, reach the potential that it had before and that it is still capable of getting to. What?
Huh?
Anyway. I said all I wanted to say.
Okay. So hopefully E3, I think if it cancels, it won't come back.
That's probably true.
Because if it does cancel, everyone can do something like a Nintendo Direct and even like release a bunch of demos. Like honestly, the best thing that they could do for games is instead of having like a showroom floor for games to be playable, release them to the public.
Like have
or like a playable you already put it like on TV screens and stuff like there at the conference. Just release it straight to the players.
Or, say, if you still want to make it a special
this weekend, yeah. Or for like these 3 days, there's a playable demo of these games that have just been announced. Go play now, and then also like have like a leave your feedback.
It seems like that'd be a good idea. Like if it was also for the conference in particular, like saying they released the demo for those like 3 days, and then it's gone. So it's like. So it's still technically for the event and not just, oh, we're going to release all our demos forever
from
this point.
So I think there's like some things that they could do that would allow E3 to increase its longevity and allow the gamers to feel more value. Well, no, I guess this is stepping away from E3 completely. I think just, you know, developers could do their own thing and still get the same reaction. And honestly, they probably save a lot of money doing it too. But we don't need E3.
With as many conferences as there are now, no, we don't. But like I was saying a minute ago, it still has that special place in a lot of gamers' hearts.
Right. I mean, they could still do something on a either smaller scale or individual scale. They could do their own, player weekend or like just rename the conference itself or just completely shift gears and make it be fine or even if you could pay some sort of like online pass to be part of the previews and games, like just some way to get it to more people to be part of it, because like I wanted to go to E3 but I can't afford to go to E3. I can't take off, you know, work to go to E3.
Downsides of also living in Atlanta, the polar opposite side of the country.
Right, and there's not, like, big gaming conferences here in Atlanta. I mean, we've got MomoCon coming up, but that started as an anime?
Well, we have a couple, actually. Like, there's MomoCon, there's AWA, and there's DragonCon.
What is AWA?
It's like an anime weekend. It's more geared towards the anime side of things, but there is still that, like, comic and gaming presence. It's just not as prominent as, say, MomoCon.
Gotcha. So we'll see what happens with E3. And speaking of things that happened, what, Shade?
I just love your transitions.
They work.
Platinum Games has been doing Kickstarter for the Wonderful 101. Well, it came out in the broad, they came out and said, like, you know, they didn't, like, doing Kickstarter was never about the money. So, you know, like, Shane, you and I had to talk, like, you know, is it okay for, like, a AAA developer to use Kickstarter?
Yeah.
Okay, why, Shane?
Oh, I was saying I remember, I was acknowledging it, but do you want me to go ahead?
Sure.
I think it's okay. First of all, I didn't realize they were as big that they are. So take that.
Platinum Games made the Astral Chains, right?
They made Astral Chain. They make Bayonetta. They were one of the ones working on Scalebound for Xbox before it got canned by Xbox. They worked with Capcom.
They made Nier Automata.
Yep. They've made some really big games.
Yeah.
And like games that are like critically acclaimed and well received. Like they've put out some great quality stuff. And so then it comes the wonderful 101, which, you know, didn't exactly get the reception on the Wii U as it probably should have or could have. And I'm a backer and I'll get it a month before everyone else, suckers.
Is this the one in 3 years?
No, this is the one. They came out and announced that they're going to go ahead and release a physical copy like in stores in May.
Oh, okay.
Well, okay. If you already had the plan to release the game out in May, why are you doing Kickstarter?
I don't know. Maybe to get it out there.
What do they specifically say on the Kickstarter? Is it like to help like fund the physical edition or to like to fund development of the game or like what
support. Did they say?
Just support the game.
It let me pull it up because I feel like this is very important now.
Did they originally make the Wonderful 101?
Yes.
So okay, I think we talked about that before.
Are they just like remastering it, or are they like making a sequel?
Yes, it is a remastered version, and they just passed $2 million. So it's not a small like undertaking. What they're doing is basically. They are creating a remaster for the Switch, which realized the Switch has over 50 million units sold, and the Wii U had 13
million.
13 million units sold.
just like singular 13.
Yes, just 13. Now, they basically just needed to reach a goal to get the game out there. Because... they had talked with Nintendo because Nintendo partly owned the IP for the Wonderful 101 because it was an exclusive for the Wii U. So then they came out and said, hey, we want to bring out this game. We need your help. Back us. I think it was kind of like the gist of it. But more so, it's not coming just to Switch. If they met a certain goal, you know, they were going to release it on Steam and PS4, which they are. Hmm. Right. And then they added a bunch of other stuff they're going to work on. They just passed 2 million. If they reach 2.25 million, they'll release orchestral recordings. So like they create more and more like things to shoot for and hit. And I think there's only a few 19 hours left to go.
How much is 4,000 yen?
It's not a lot in US dollars.
It's like $41. So it's about $41 to buy the game. It may come out in stores for more or less than, I'm not sure. But like they put out this game. Well, it comes to like they just wanted to see how much support the game would have.
Right.
And that's like the whole gauge of this. It was never about, you know, actually getting money, which makes a lot of sense because like started this at the beginning of February, and they're going to ship the physical copies to backers in April. So they've already got copies.
Well,
I don't know. The game's like all ready to be made. Like it's done.
Well, when you
and it's ready to go to print.
When you were just showing too, like the tiers of the Kickstarter, where basically it was to show that they'll make it for different platforms besides a Switch. That being on Kickstarter, it can make a little more sense to say like they might not necessarily get financial backing from Nintendo or like their corporate executives or whatever to do that. But if the fans really wanted it and the devs were willing and capable, I feel like they could put it up on Kickstarter. Like, hey, if you want these other versions, like donate to this Kickstarter and we'll see if we can make it happen.
Yeah.
And it seems like it is what happened.
But they were still going to release this no matter what.
Were they?
I think so. Because they already have a date of, hey, we're, you know, releasing this in May.
For all the other platforms besides Switch?
No, just Switch.
That's what I'm saying. Like, for the other platforms, like, that might not have been a plan until they started this Kickstarter and saw that there was the support. Right. And
the Steam and PS4 are going to come later, as well as, like, all the other things. That, like, the extra, or the time attack, Luca's first mission, Luca's second mission, those are all things that they have to go back and develop for this now. So I'm getting kind of a, I don't know what you call it. Like, it's a remastered version, and I'll definitely have some downloaded updates to have in the future based off of this.
Yes.
But
I guess still feel like this can take
away, though, from indie devs. Maybe not, but basically, like, hey, there's, 31,000 people that were going to buy this game. And since it's coming out and they're putting all of this effort into it, there's a good chance that on Switch that, you know, they could see a lot more. And I don't doubt the next 19 hours, if we knock out, like, the next two stretch goals on this. Because, like, Platinum Games, like, they put out quality games. Like, that's what they're known for. So, I don't know. I just feel weird about it. I'm not going to pull out my backing. I know that, I think, like, when they came out and said, like, oh, it's not about actually, like, we don't actually need the money for this game to come out. Like, we need it to put in the work for all the other stuff.
Well, to me, it's like a pre-order that matters. Like, you can pre-order a game right now, whatever game is coming out soon, and you just buy the game early. This way, you contribute to the community. You say, I'll pre-order the game at full price. And that everyone that does that gets you that much closer to the next stretch goal of, like, they had the two extra missions that they're putting in. So, like, it actually incentivizes real pre-orders as you gain something from it.
Yeah, okay, that does make sense. Like, the more people that pre-order, the, like, it pushes everyone closer to the goal of getting
a,
like,
better game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, like, better rewards or
so
what have you.
Basically, if Call of Duty came out and said, hey, if you pre-order, we may put out this DLC and you'll just get it with the game that you pre-order. Yeah,
they could say if we get 100,000 pre-orders.
So it's a completely different take on DLC then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they'll know what they're selling ahead of time.
Actually, I kind of like that.
It makes a lot of sense to me. Because,
like, devs count on pre-orders in order to get the game out.
Yeah.
And so that's essentially what they got this. And, like, oh, there's DLC. But instead of, like, putting in the time and seeing if we get paid, like, the money back that we put into it, now we get the money back plus some to keep going.
Right.
Like, well, we essentially get paid to put this out there now.
And from the looks of it, it seems like they, getting it onto a Switch compatible format is really, really easy because they owned it from the beginning. It was already on Wii U. I really don't know what goes into it, but I'm pretty sure it's just like re-exporting it as Switch format. So they didn't really need the, they could have just released it on Switch for, you know, a second profit from the original release, but they put it on Kickstarter to let people reach out and say, hey, I'll buy it if it's on PS4. Hey, I'll do this. I'll pre-order it. And then, you know, all this other additional thing. So I think I really don't mind it. Now, if it was Activision saying, come back Call of Duty 47 and you can get a skin. Like, that's just a waste of everyone's time. Like, they don't need the money ahead of time.
Right.
You can still pre-order a game, but,
like, the rewards at that point need to be substantial and not, yeah, like, a skin.
And a communal, like changing the game.
Yeah.
Because, like,
we'll say, like, for Call of Duty, the equivalents could be, like, map packs. Would be, like,
right,
reach this certain goal and everyone that's backed it gets this map pack.
Yes.
Or, like, you'll get the equivalents of season pass worth of content if we reach this certain goal.
Exactly. It makes,
but
it brings everyone
that
together.
Buys the game later gets that, too.
Yes.
Like, it's not just for you, but for everything else. Granted, like, you know, with this, like, if you move up, like, there's all this extra stuff. There's soundtracks, t-shirts, like, all this other stuff that you can get with backing, which is what they're, like, you know, the money that we get goes into all these, like, extra stuff. Because, like, this is what's really going to cost them is all the backer perks.
Right.
Not the game itself. The game is like the game's done, ready to go to print for the Switch. They'll have to tweak it to make it compatible with Steam and PS4. But beyond that, like the money's going back into this and into future developments. Which, like, okay, yeah, all right, I'm fine with it now.
Just had to talk it out.
I've confirmed. Okay, yeah, I get it now. I did. Because it's just like, you know, I'm not sure how I feel about this. Which, by the way, that game that comes out in 2023, if you want to back it, you still can.
Oh, okay.
They created like a back end starter. Oh. Or like a back starter. Instead of Kickstarter, you're a back starter.
Is it a different website?
I think you can actually go to Kickstarter to their website and. Don't touch that. Don't touch that.
Kindred Fates.
Yeah, so for those of you that don't know, I backed a project. Late pledges I'm back called Kindred Fates, and it's an open world monster battling RPG. It looks like Pokemon, but the Pokemon like we want to see happen.
Yes.
And it actually looks really cool. The game looks pretty awesome as it is, and the gist behind it seems really good.
What do you mean behind it?
Like the overall concept of the game. And the way the game acts, like we'll call them pseudo Pokemon, are called Kindred.
The elemental friends.
Yeah. They also speak and talk to you. They're like people.
That's a little weird.
Right. And they can actually die.
Oh.
Right. So it seems really cool and interesting. It's a very open world, which I kind of like.
The battle system is like not just a turn-based like thing, like slideshow. Yeah, yeah. It's moving like, around and actually doing moves. Yeah, and things.
You can actually use your kindred's moves in like live time.
Yeah,
and you actually like have to aim your attacks.
Yeah,
and I think to me like that's kind of cool. Like you're more in control of the battle, which I always like those kinds of games.
Yes,
so that looks really cool. It's supposedly not going to be released until 2023. So hopefully my wife doesn't listen and hear that.
But it does look cool. I agree.
It does. Hey, speaking
of looking cool.
Star Wars apparently had a game leaked on PlayStation Network this week.
The logo looks really cool.
It really does. It's called Maverick.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the Project actual Maverick. Game name or if it's like a project, you know, working name.
Who knows? But it looks kind of cool. It's supposed to be smaller in scale compared to Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Okay. Yeah, I saw some discussion about it. Some people think it's a Rogue Squadron remake.
That would be dope.
But it's still more along the lines of a multiplayer experience.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't read anything about it like that, but...
Well, Rogue Squadron was like it was before online, I guess, but still centered on the whole, like, space battles and fighting it out and stuff, like...
Yeah, I could see how you could do multiplayer pretty easily on that, then.
Or you could also have a pretty solid campaign with that kind of thing.
Yeah, or a multiplayer campaign. Like, you go, a red leader
like
calling in.
We'd have it like Destiny, where you could, like... go through this, you have like a story mode that you can go through,
yeah,
but also you can still do that co-op,
yeah,
but you also have your multiplayer on top of all that too. Okay, I can get behind something like
drop
that.
In drop out campaign and then multiplayer battles, that'd be
who are the
cool.
Devs, like, I know EA is publishing, but like, is it EA exact studios or is it Respawn making that as well, or like, what was the development team behind it?
Respawn is not part of this.
Because I'd be kind of shocked if they were making a Star Wars game that quickly after Fallen Order and to have it already a logo leak.
Well, this one was apparently already in the works.
But the question is, what team?
Don't know. It doesn't really say. It's a game at EA Motive.
What?
That's one of... Pretty sure that's one of EA's, like, just actual studios. Like,
oh, home studio.
Like, it's literally just, like, an EA studio. Not, like, another name besides that.
EA Games.
Challenge everything.
All right. All I know of challenging everything, Final Fantasy VII challenges our perception of a remaster.
Ooh, good one.
Remake? Thank you. Technically? Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, remake. You should have said remake.
Dang it.
There's too many REM words.
I'm
going to
let you guys talk about Final Fantasy VII. All I've heard is it's fantastic. My brother-in-law was like, dude, this thing is great.
Yep.
I don't have a PlayStation 4 because apparently I'm lame. So
it is fan-freaking-tastic, let me tell you what. Coming from Tetsuya Nomura, who was behind on the original Final Fantasy VII, the character designs and some of the battle concepts, but also more famously he's known for the entire Kingdom Hearts series and creating and leading that through its thing.
And its thing.
Yeah, it's own thing.
It's a little bit of a understatement, but yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
So coming into this remake of Final Fantasy VII with Kingdom Hearts and some other Final Fantasy combat systems under his belt and his experience, he's, in my opinion, he's beautifully woven all of those battle concepts together to where it is more or less a live action RPG with the elements of turn-based combat, like, kind of seeped in there. It's not purely turn-based to where you have infinite amount of time to decide what you want to do or your opponents do. It's live in the sense of you have to fight, but once you fill up a certain meter, you can slow down time drastically to where it's almost turn-based style and select attacks, abilities, spells, what have you. And it surprisingly flows together really well. Like, normally, like, turn and live do not mix, but this is the closest thing I've seen for a combat system to blend the two together.
That sounds really good. We were talking a little bit before the podcast, but I like that it keeps the ATB going without, like in Final Fantasy 13, you had to wait for your little bar to fill up, but in the meantime, your character could just, they just stood there and waited. Yeah. Like, you can move around, you know, I don't know if you could even really dodge, I don't remember that much, but you're like moving around.
I don't think you could.
And then your placement in the map didn't even matter, because if the enemy wanted to hit you, he would just hit you, or you'd evade as part of your stats. So I really like that it's, you move your guy around, you hit the basic attacks, from what I understand, is constant. Like, that's the live part.
That's how you also build up your meter faster. Like, everyone in your party will build their ATB, like, constantly. But depending on who you actively are playing as and doing a lot of attacks with, it'll drastically speed up the ATB gauge filling up.
Okay, it really sounds like a perfect way to do that.
It's easily one of the best combat systems I've seen in a game.
Because it keeps you engaged with, like, oh, I got to make sure I'm doing this. But then you also have to plan ahead and do, like, actual strategy real time. But then once you reach a certain point, from what it sounds like, it slows down for a second. You can choose your spell and your target, and then jump back in, you keep going.
Yep.
It sounds, I don't know, it just sounds really cool. I need to try the demo. I saw the demo was released and sneakily downloaded on my, when I was at work, but on my PlayStation, whatever. So
the future technology, yes, how we can do that.
I just told my PlayStation, here, download this.
That it's definitely worth the playthrough. It's free. It's just a demo. So yeah. If you got a PlayStation, highly recommend it. You go out and try it.
Yeah. We actually,
Brandon, cause you don't have a PlayStation.
You could try it at my house.
I could.
One of these days.
One of these days.
A friend of ours who used to play PlayStation 4, eventually he sold his PS4 because he just didn't have time, I guess.
Many a moon ago.
He got his PlayStation back, or probably a different one, just because this game was coming out. So I'm sure he's played the demo.
It was his favorite game of all time.
Oh, yeah.
So seeing this remake come around, I'm sure he's all over it.
This is what he bought his PlayStation for. That's really cool, though. Like, to have that, the old blocky tube Final Fantasy VII game, like, that, like, created part of your core humanness.
I mean, that's like us with Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, and then just to, like, take that, let it be the remake version. Like, he can actually, I don't know, jump in and play it. It's probably really cool for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You got anything else on FF7?
I can gush about it forever, but that's about it. That's about all the hard kind of hitting facts that I wanted to hammer in for that review.
Okay. I think I'm good.
All right. Well, with that, there's only one thing left this week. What are you playing?
Ooh.
Well, I've been playing that demo a lot. I played through it twice. But the two games I've been playing the most as of late have been Overwatch and Minecraft. Oh. Being at this new place I moved to, I finally have very good internet to where I can reliably play competitive. Uh-huh. And I have been... It all depends on your team comp in that game. Uh-huh. But I've been finding some good teams lately, or having some of my friends get on, and we have been wiping the floor with the competition. So I've been moving up in the rankings pretty decently. But whenever I'm just wanting to chill with my new roommates, we just get on their Xbox created world and play Minecraft. But with how Minecraft is now, it's cross-platform with everything. So I play on my Switch and they play on their Xbox, but we're all in the same world.
That's cool.
Or it could be my PlayStation too, but since my Switch is a lot easier to move up and down stairs than my PlayStation, I just take the Switch.
Nice.
What about you, Shane? What have you been playing?
Been playing a lot of Death Stranding. Actually, last Saturday and Sunday, I think I played 7 hours over those 2 days. But like, the interesting level has gone up. Like, it keeps taking different steps of interesting and opening up what the world is. Like, the first kind of area you start in, it's teaching you basically the core of the game, where you're the whole like thing you're doing in the game is taking stuff from one place to another. Like, your character is just carrying it. So that's like the core. Then it builds on that in the next area, where you start to get vehicles and you start to get floating little, basically a floating wagon that you tether to you, and it helps you carry more stuff. Or you can build roads to like make everything even easier. And so like, as you're doing that, the story keeps blossoming into more and crazy, interesting stuff. And it's just, I think it's designed to kind of just slowly bring you into this world. And I think it's really done a good job. I really like it.
I still need to give it a chance.
Yeah, you can definitely borrow it after I'm done. It'll just be a while before I'm done.
Long time to wait. What about you, Brandon?
So for those of you that don't know, I've been pursuing becoming a teacher. I know, I'm working with teenagers again.
You sound so thrilled.
No, I really am excited about that. So I had to take a break from my gaming habits to study for my exams to work towards becoming a teacher. Now that that's been done, I've been trying to get back into it. Let's see, last weekend I dove into the Outer Wilds.
How is that?
Honestly, really good. I'm super peaceful.
Wait,
but like,
that's not the Outer Worlds, right?
Correct.
That's the different one, like in space and something's happening. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've heard really, really good things about that.
It won a lot of awards at the Game Awards.
I kept playing because it's like something keeps happening. I don't know why, but all these things I keep finding keep hinting to what's about to happen, which then resets the game.
Huh?
And that is the most, without like, you know, spoiling the game, that's about as much detail as I can give. Basically, there is something that keeps reoccurring, where it resets you to the start of the game, but you remember everything from before. So kind of like Groundhog Day.
From what I had heard from one of my friends that was going through the game, I thought, from at least how he put it, I thought it was just a mechanic of like, if you die or something in the game, then you reset the entire game up to a certain point.
Well,
no, it's always to the beginning, right?
It's always to like when you first start the game, yeah. So the goal, you're always going to die. See, that's the part, like, Yeah, now I just ruined it.
But
you are going to die every time.
But it's just about getting as far as you can before dying?
It's trying to discover
a natural disaster. So, like, in the start of the game, they're like, man, like, that sun is getting, like, you know, looking like it could explode. And it does. And so you've got to go out and search for clues to kind of get this to stop.
Huh.
Like, this, like, natural disaster from, like, it is really, really bizarre and interesting. There's a lot of puzzle.
I heard there was a lot of reading, too.
There is. And you got to kind of, like, stay on top of it to know, like, where to go next. And if you don't fly right, you can crash your ship and die. And then you restart all over again.
Wait, how did you play it? What did you play it on?
Xbox.
Oh, okay. Well, I was on Switch. I was going to get it.
No. Now
is it on PlayStation?
Outer Worlds is coming to Switch.
I don't need that.
Although that's been delayed because of coronavirus production.
But they're now creating a physical copy.
Yeah, that's true.
Before, they were just going to have a case with a download card, and now there's a case with a physical cartridge inside of it that the entire game will fit on.
I would still think that if they had that download code like in plan for the first place, couldn't they still have that go through, and then the people that want to buy the physical card can still wait, just so the game could still get to Switch?
I don't know. I think they weren't sure if it was a possibility. And then I think they saw fans saying, no, we want a physical cartridge. I'm like, oh, there's actually like demand for this. I'll be one of the ones to get a physical cartridge. So I played that, dove into some Crackdown 3 thanks to xCloud on my phone.
Okay, so you didn't pay for it, right?
I was about to say, like, if you paid for that, like, I'm sorry.
Crackdown? No. Did not pay for Crackdown 3. I'm trying to think what else I jumped into this last weekend. I've started picking up my Pokemon Shield again. Got another gym badge the other night. If nice. I have time before bed, I'll probably try and get another one tonight. So definitely playing a lot more Pokemon. I want to beat it because Animal Crossing is coming. And I tell myself, like, you know, I've got to beat a game before I buy a game. And there's like 5 games I want to buy. Oh, also tried out Metro Exodus last week as well. So really just trying to like dive back in and trying to like play more games.
Yeah.
Even if it's for like 30 minutes each, trying to experience just different genres. Mm. Outer Wilds, I could definitely see myself pouring time into, but I've got to beat Pokemon first. I've got to be the best.
Like no one ever was?
Yes, and I'm not sure if you saw, but Pokemon Mewtwo Strikes Back, the movie, released back in like 1999, where Ash turned to stone, has been remade and is on Netflix.
My buddy was showing me that the other day.
It's really good. I'm sitting on the couch. It's
like
everything's
in 3D. Yeah, it's like a 3D
I'm sitting
CGI
on the couch and like I'm tearing up. And Kay's like, what the heck, Brandon? You didn't even tear up about me. It's like, she's like, you tear up more about like Pokemon than me, Brandon. What was that?
That was Shay.
Your dog. She said, don't talk about my mom like that.
Oh, sorry, Shay. So, yeah, that's what I've been into. So, with that, I think that's all that we've got for this week. Next week, join us.
Join us and Shay.
And Shay, yes. My puppers. I need to post a picture of her on Twitter.
That's how we grow our viewer base is with puppers.
Puppers. I need to do it. Yes. Hey, if you like what you're listening to, please, please, for the love of everything gaming,
and
go write a review on iTunes or Google Podcasts. Something, just say, hey, I like what I'm hearing. That way we can grow our viewership, or listenership, not viewership, and the community that we call the Gamers Pub. Because we do this because we enjoy the people that we get to talk to, and just the discussions that come from this. Gaming is not something to be done alone. It's something to do with friends. So we consider y'all friends. So please go leave a review. That would be the best thing if you want to support us. You can head over to Anchor. If you want to leave an intro for our show, you can go and record it, and you may be in next week's episode. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. So head over to anchor.fm to find our Facebook and Twitter page. And our theme song is a mix of chiptune melody by MC Cisco Kid and Scarlet Fire by Otis McDonald. And our podcasts are edited by Patrick McWilliams from Fancy Top Hat Films Productions. Again, I'm one of your hosts, Brandon. This is
Shane
and Cole.
And we thank you guys for coming and hanging out with us. We will see you next week.
Toodaloo.
See ya.